The debate tonight is, and you cut me down just a little bit, Chris. The debate tonight is based upon the subject of women preachers, women speaking in the congregation, women speaking in the assembly. Now, what I want you to pay attention to this evening is something that's very important for both sides that's here. What you need to pay attention to is the fact that the Bible tells us that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, sometimes what appears to be clear, sound doctrine is sometimes not at all as clear as it appears. What you have to do to establish sound doctrine is this. Whatever scripture you use, as clear as that scripture may be or may sound, what you have to do is you have to take what you're saying that teaches and make it work with the entire Bible. This is how you find out if it's a man-made doctrine or if it's a doctrine of God. If what you say a passage of scripture means cannot be and will not be supported throughout the entirety of the Word of God being applied to it, if it cannot stand on the weight of the entirety of the Word of God being placed to it, then it's not sure. It's not sound. It's unsound. So I want you to pay close attention to that. What you're going to hear tonight is you're going to hear a constant... Well, you're going to hear a constant message of contradictions because there's no other way for Pat or anyone else to deal with the subject pertaining to women preachers or women not being able to speak in a church, in an assembly, because there is a man there. You're going to hear contradictions because he'll have to contradict himself. Not only are you going to hear contradictions, but you're going to have numerous unanswered questions because he can't answer what he can't answer. And if you don't have clear scripture to answer what it is that's being taught, you can't answer it. And he won't be able to answer it. So you're going to have numerous contradictions. You're going to have numerous unanswered questions. And then we're going to border, if not go headlong, into absolute foolishness. Absolute foolishness. Once the scriptures and the work of God and the word of God is applied to this subject, it will fall back to absolute foolishness, where all false doctrine and false conclusions concerning the scriptures always wind up. Now, the passage of scripture that's in question here today is from 1 Corinthians 14. It says what appears to be very simple and very straight. It says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith it in the law. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Seems pretty clear. I'd be the first to admit that. Then in the book of Timothy, Pat will bring to you in Timothy 2:11 and 12, what seems, again, to be crystal clear. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, if anybody wanted a set of scriptures to base an argument on, and it appeared deadlocked and sealed, that would be it. But as I said, we're going to find some things tonight that don't make sense, and we're going to find out what the truth of this business is. To begin with, I want you to understand that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, and you don't have to remember all these scriptures, just check them later. Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church, where he made statements that I just read to you. Paul was speaking to the Corinthian church, and he said, unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Now, Paul was fixing to give a commandment to the church. He was talking to the church, and he was fixing to give a commandment. And he made it absolutely clear before he spoke. He said, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. In other words, he's saying, this is not my commandment. This is the Lord's commandment. Which means then Paul will be able to go back to Scripture and show you where the Lord said it. Then in chapter 7 and verse 12, as he goes on and speaks to Corinthians, he says this, "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." So now the instructions that he gives from this point forward, he is saying this is not the commandments of God, this is me giving you my opinion and telling you what needs to be done. Because I don't have any direct scriptures to go on what I'm telling you. There's a local problem here, and I'm dealing with the local problem. And he's saying, the rest speak I and not the Lord. Okay? The Corinthian church is something that you need to study and you need to understand. The Corinthian church was a church of absolute disorder. You're talking about a chaotic church. You're talking about a church in chaos. A church that would run a pastor crazy. Paul is there dealing with local problems, which will be clearly manifested. Dealing with local problems from a bunch of people who could not come together and even eat together without war and dissension breaking out. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16, I'll just read a few of the verses. 11, 1 through 16. Paul gives a long list, several passages of Scripture, where he is in detail dealing with issues. Detail telling them what to do and how to look and how not to look and how to appear and how to manifest them. Whole list of Scriptures where he's given them directions. At the closing of it, he says, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is the glory of her, for her hair is given unto her as for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." So Paul is saying again here, clearly, that all of which, and I just read just a little bit of it, all the directions that I just gave you, I don't have any scripture behind me to tell you that's the commandment of God. I'm telling you, nature itself tells you, fella, you ought to cut your hair. Well, then we would ask, okay, if that's your doctrine, how come Samson's strength was in his hair? Those are the kind of things I'm talking about. He didn't have any scriptural basis for what he said to these people right here. I'm not saying what he said was wrong. He was exercising judgment. But he had no scriptural basis for what he said in the earlier verse where he said, "The rest speak I, not the Lord." If he had had scriptural reference, he would have said the Lord said it. He didn't have any scriptural reference. Then here he concludes this long speech of how they are to appear and how they're to look. Detail. And then at the end of it, he says, after all that speaking that I just did, at the end of it, he says, "But if any be contentious, we have no such customs in the church of God." In other words, everything that I just told you is my opinion. How I believe it should be. Nature itself, I'm telling you, teaches you got long hair. It's a shame on a man. But if you are contentious about any of the rules that I just laid down, I want you to understand that if you want to wear long hair, it's up to you. Paul was simply giving instructions, and he was not doing so based upon commandments of God. He was simply giving instructions to a church that is in disarray. This church not only needed directions in these areas of them praying and how they would appear, but also in 1 Corinthians 11, 17, he goes on to deal with them concerning the Lord's Supper. That's where we come down here and sit down and eat and partake in the Lord's Supper. He says in verse 17, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for better, but for the worse." And then he goes on through here talking about them bringing in heresies and all kind of foolishness, and one being there drunk and the other bringing food from their own house and other people. These people could not even get together. They didn't know how to get together and pray. They didn't know how to get together and prophesy. They didn't know how to get together and pray, speak in tongues. They didn't do anything right, basically. And Paul is telling them here, even the Lord's Supper, you come here and you get drunk. You come here and you feed in yourselves, and this is not what it's all about. Go home and eat. Then the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, as he continues to deal with this church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now he's talking to the church. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. But not just fornication. He says it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named among the Gentiles. The heathens don't even do what y'all doing in here. He condemned the church for not being able to judge these smallest things and said, if you can't judge them, let your children rise up and judge them. Condemning the church as they needed to be condemned. He says, it is reported commonly there's fornication among you, such fornication not even mentioned or named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. This was a hellhole of a church. You understand? And Paul is clearly telling them, as I've already provided scripture, he is clearly telling them some of the things that I'm telling you is direct commands of God. But there are issues that's arising in the church that I either don't know or don't have direct commandment of God pertaining to. So I am telling you in my best judgment what I think should be done, because I do not have scripture. And going back again to what I said earlier, whenever he said, not I, but the Lord said, meant he had scripture. When he said, now I and not the Lord, meant he did not have scripture. No scriptural backing whatsoever. Then the Bible tells us this concerning women and how Christ would use them. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, you'll read, beginning with verse 1, just read all of this for yourself. The ladies was at the tomb of the Lord Jesus. Angels appeared unto them and said, why do you seek the living among the dead? And he sent those angels sent those women, not to just men, but sent those women to the apostles who were gathered together, by definition assembled, who was gathered together. These angels sent these women to deliver unto those apostles divine revelation. Jesus is alive. They didn't know that. One of the women that was being sent was an harlot with seven demons cast out of her. She was being sent with revelation. Two apostles gathered together in one place by every word, by every definition of the word, assembled in one place. Are we to assume that them apostles did not pray while they were there? That they did not sing a merry song unto the Lord? I would imagine that they did. They were apostles. When we as Christians get together, we do the same thing. But now, as angels sent these women to divine revelation to those apostles, as the women was on the way, Matthew 28 says, they ran into Jesus. And Jesus told them, you go and tell those men everything you heard. You go and tell them that I have risen, and you go tell them where I'm going to be at for them to come see me. It reads this way. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth forth into Galilee. That is divine revelation and divine instruction. You understand that, don't you? They're telling them where to go to, and they're telling them an event that they're not aware of. Divine revelation and divine instructions. These women sent by angels and then confirmed and sent by Christ to men to give them revelation and to give them direction. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, from the tomb, with fear and with great joy. And they did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Once again, it is confirmed the Lord Jesus sent women two men with divine revelation, something they did not know, and sent women to men to give them directions where to go and what to do. So we can conclude by this that angels has no problem sending a woman to a man to tell that man divine revelation and to give him divine guidance. Now, Pat's going to say, yes, a woman can do all these things. But she can't do it in the assembly if there are men here. She can't do it in the assembly if there's men here. So we're to believe then that women can give divine instructions of the resurrected of the Lord outside the door right there. But if they walk inside the door, they got to shut up. That's foolishness. The Bible then tells us in Luke 2:36 that there is a prophetess named Anna. I would ask Pat, how many types of prophets are there besides a false and a true prophet? This woman was a prophetess. To be a prophet, one has to speak. You cannot be a prophet and not speak. The Bible tells us in Acts 2:17 that in the last days, God said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Prophesy is a speaking gift, one of the nine of the Spirit. You cannot prophesy and not speak. Romans 16:1-2. He says, I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant in the church, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. He's sending now men to a woman and saying that whatever she needs you to do, do it. One thing we're settling here clearly. The Lord has no trouble. The Bible has no trouble sending women to men with divine messages, divine instructions. The Bible has no problem with women going and ministering to men and saying that. That's clear. No problem being told for a man to do what the woman tells you to do. No problem. The book of Romans 16:7. There's a woman there by the name of Junia. Paul says to salute them. Her and her husband, I suppose it is. My kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. He now links a woman to be among the apostles. That's the highest of the callings. The Bible then tells us, well, I would just leave off with this with a couple of minutes I got left. A series of questions that I would like to have answered tonight. Number one, I would like the question concerning Deborah to be answered. That's number one, a woman who was over a king in the Old Testament. Number two, I would like for this, will God send a woman to speak directly to a man? We just established that fact. I'm interested to see what he will say. How can there be no difference between male and female, as the Bible says that in Christ there is no difference? How can that passage of Scripture possibly be true if a woman is in here prophesying with the gift God gave her, but if a man walks in, she's got to go dead silent at that very moment because he walked in? How then, number five, could the Bible tell us that God is no respecter of a person? Number six, will angels send women to men? Number seven, will Jesus Christ send women to men? I think these are scriptures that deserves to be answered. Corinthians was a hellhole, and it was receiving instructions, both commandments of God and also not commandments of God. And Paul said in 2 Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach. What did he say? I suffer not. I allow not. I would ask for one scripture in the Bible to be found where God the Father in the Old Testament would not allow a woman to speak. I would like to find one passage of scripture in the New Testament spoken by the Lord Jesus where a woman was forbade to speak. Anywhere in the Bible, Paul said, I suffer you not to speak, because he was dealing with particular problems and issues of which the churches of which he founded had to be corrected on. Amen. Am I done?
You got about 50 seconds.
50 seconds. 49, 48, 47, half, you come on.